Well, I didn't know exactly what to do this morning since last week was so good. And I've gotten mixed reviews, but I always do. I've heard people say that was the best message they'd ever heard in their life. I made four people pretty angry, pretty upset. But you know, I don't intend to. I never intend to upset folks with the word. It's like I was telling George today, this morning, that you know, I have a hard word. I have a very hard word. When I preach what I want to preach, what the Lord lets me preach, when I really preach what He gives me, it comes hard. Because this is a hard area. And you're not going to break a rock with a feather.
Right.
Amen? And we need something in this area that's tough, that's hard, and that will change some things and knock some holes in some things and do some damage to some powers and some thoughts and some religious activity that binds us and makes the Word of God of
none
effect. And we need a shaking. Amen? And I'm a good shaker. And God has made me this way. The thing I want to say about that, and then I'm going on. I asked the Lord this morning, should I explain it or get back into it? And He said no. And so I just want to just say this one little thing about it. You cannot attach a name to ministry. Jesus, and I don't want to turn to it, but you can read the passage in for yourself. But Jesus in John in chapter 6, He fed the 5,000 men alone, not counting the women and children. And then they were going to make Him king, so He went to the mountain alone to pray. And that's what I really want to talk about today, is prayer. And then He came walking on the sea, and He went across and taught in the synagogue the next day, and they came over there to find Him, did the 5,000. And they found Him, and they said, "How'd you get here?" And then He began to talk to them and teach them. And He began to teach them a hard message, very offensive message, a message that says, unless you eat of this ministry and drink of this ministry, you have no part of it. A very tough message. And they said, you know, we don't receive this. We like the fishes and the loaves. We like it when you do it our way and you bless us and you're good to us and you tickle us and you make us happy. But when you start, we got to do something. We're not going to do this. And it offended them. And what they said to Him was this, and you can read it. Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, who live in our city? Don't we know they're His brothers and sisters? It wasn't, isn't this Jesus the Son of God? It was, isn't this Jesus the Son of Joseph and Mary? Now what they did is they missed the Christ and His anointing because they hooked a name to the ministry. So when you read that Matthew 10 passage, and the ministry coming to you, don't hook Delbert to that sent to you. It's the man sent from God. It could be me. It could be anybody. But as long as you're in this mode of thinking of a person, you're going to miss what the person's there to do. Okay? And so we're not after the person. We're after the anointing. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, not the man.
Amen.
Right?
Destroy
so you receive the anointing and not the person. Am I making this clear? So that's good. And that's all I want to say about that. That's all I got to say about that. I've often wondered and thought how it would have been to have lived with Jesus and to have got to attend His times in prayer to Father. How it would have been to have watched what He did. Did He walk? Did He kneel? Did He sit? How did He do it? And I've often wondered how marvelous it just would have been just to have been there and see what He did, what He said. You know, the Bible talks about Him withdrawing Himself from the multitude. He wasn't a big one on praying with a lot of folk. Now, He did this, I'm sure. But the Bible mostly talks about Jesus praying alone. Going into the mountain alone. Withdrawing Himself from the multitude and going into the wilderness alone. Rising up early and going and pray way before day, the Bible says. A great while before day. And he loved to pray. And he loved to pray alone. And when he would go into these places and pray, the Bible talks about them. They talks about them as mountain experiences most of the time. High places. He would go. He liked to. He had special places he sanctified and was set apart for him to go and pray. He had a place in Gethsemane. When he was around Jerusalem, he would go into this place in Gethsemane and he would pray. When he was up there in Capernaum and in those areas, he had a mountain that he liked to go in and pray. He had a special place that he would go and withdraw himself from people and pray. And when he would come out of these places, something marvelous would always happen. The Bible talks about him that morning that he got up and went away to pray. And he came out and he started laying hands on people and casting out devils and healing lepers. The story of the 5,000 that I just spoke to you about. The Bible says that they came to him to make him a king. He didn't want none of that. He withdrew himself, went into the mountain alone and prayed. And the next time you saw him, here he comes walking on the water. Marvelous things happened when he prayed. He'd go pray and then he'd meet a leper and he'd kill him. And he would go pray and he'd walk on water. Or he'd go pray and he'd heal the multitude. He'd go pray and he'd preach and the place would be full. Marvelous things happened when Jesus prayed. And I would love to see how he prayed. He prayed so well and the disciples began to notice this. And they came to him one day and they said, teach us to pray. They didn't say teach us how to pray. They said teach us to pray. We see you know how to pray. Teach us to pray. And Jesus said to him, he told him a story about a Pharisee. He says, don't be like the Pharisee that went and prayed. And when he prayed with himself. And I think a lot of prayers of the church is we just pray with ourselves. We pray with ourselves. And I think the Lord would have us to know today that there is a prayer that we can pray with ourselves or we can pray with God. Okay? What did the Pharisee do? He went and prayed with himself. He says, don't do that. He says, when you pray, you need to go into your closet. Because what you really need to talk to God about, don't nobody need to hear, but you and God. In fact, what I really need to pray about, I don't want anybody else to hear about it, but...
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
And what you need to really pray, what you really need to pray about, you don't need me to hear it. So go in your closet. And pray. And he says, and then when you pray, say, our Father. Don't get hokey and pokey and religious. Don't go and pray like a Pharisee. Oh, thy great and most gracious heavenly Father, which art in heaven, thou art the King of glory, and blessed is thy poor and unworthy old servant that I, thy servant, am. Bless thee, thy Son. You've already got your reward. Sounded good. Sounded religious. And it was. Don't go that. He says, when you pray, say, our Father. Pray out of relationship. Don't pray out of religion. Come on. Pray out of relationship. Our Father. I recognize his place. He's Father. He's holy. He's special. He's a good dad. And he's able to give to you your daily bread. Pass the bread. He didn't say give it to us, please. He said, give us. This day, I want it today, Lord. My what I need today. And so it would have been fun to have watched Jesus pray, because there was always results after he prayed. There was all, I have prayed so many times and there was nothing happened. And I would pray and pray and pray and nothing happened. Because I was praying with myself. And so I would have loved to have watched him pray. And one day Jesus granted Peter and James and John the right to go and pray with him. Only time the Bible talks about anybody ever going and getting into this place where Jesus prayed. He took these three guys with him. He took these three guys with him, Peter, James, and John, to pray. And they got to go and watch him pray, and they record it. And they tell us about it. And Jesus went up on the mount, place he liked to go, and pray. And something happened. Because the Bible says that as he prayed, he was transformed. That his very appearance was altered. His countenance was altered. How many of you know that when you really touch God, when you're really praying, your countenance will alter? All of a sudden, what you were upset about is altered. The thing you were unhappy about, miserable about, when you've really prayed, when you've really gotten that mountain experience, and you've really talked and communed to Father about it, all of a sudden, it's not as big and as bad and as awful as it was. And your countenance is altered. And then another thing happened. It says that he entered into a spiritual dimension and he started talking to Elijah and to Moses. They were watching this. And they were so astounded and so taken back by it, they said, let's just stay here. This is good. Let's just build us some tabernacles right here. We don't have to go on any further. This is good. But Jesus says, no, we've got to come down out of prayer places, because we've got to go and minister to some people. And so he comes down and he meets this little boy with the devil, the demon in him. And he casts the devil out. And they said, well, now why couldn't we do it? And he says, this kind only comes by prayer. Now, King James adds fasting, but fasting isn't in the original. This kind comes by prayer. Not praying with yourselves. This kind comes by prayer with Father. See, the Pharisees always minister out of knowledge and what they learned in Bible school. Jesus always ministered out of relationship with Father. And the only way demons come out is by a relationship with Father. So what we want to do, begin looking at, and let's evangelize, and the thrust that I feel over this week and probably next week anyway, is let's look at some prayer. Are you praying? Where are you in your prayer life and evangelism? Where are you doing in this aspect of your evangelism walk with Him? Because there is no evangelism without prayer. You won't have the boldness to talk to people. You'll cower down. You won't have a word from the Lord. And one of the main things that we're given to evangelize is the Holy Ghost. And we need to be able to hear from the Holy Ghost to minister to people. Okay? So I want to look, if you will, at John chapter 17. Now, you know, your Bible ought to just about open up to John automatically. Just set it there and open it up. And if it opens up to John, you're in the Spirit. Now, we have just talked out of John so much because that's where I'm living. And this is just rich. Because when I study prayer in the Scriptures, I don't find, especially Jesus, but not a whole lot of what Paul prayed for the world or for the lost. Now, that's not to say they're not there. Paul prayed in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. He says, I pray for Israel, that all of Israel might be saved. And then Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells us there, he says, pray for all men everywhere. And we're told to pray for the government and the officials. We're told to pray for these things. But for the most part, you'll only find two or three prayers in the Bible that specifically speaks about praying for the lost people. But you'll find a multitude of prayers that talks about praying for the believer. So who we're supposed to be praying for is for you and me. And who we spend most of our time praying for is for our lost husbands or our lost children or our lost nephews or our cousins or whatever. And what Jesus, we're learning in here is how to pray in evangelism. And this is what I'm after, okay? Now, what I want to get today, and just this, and then I'm through. And I think Judy's got a little something that the Lord's put on her heart that she wants to just share with you. But the thing that I want to share with you is that not true? She got the joy up here. She had something else this morning. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Whatever. But anyway, what I want to share with you is that first of all, I want to see where our prayer should be focused. And then secondly of all, the point I want to get to today and end with is that there are things that hinder the course of our message, that hinder the course of what God's put us here to do, put you here to do. There are wicked and evil people who come against what you're here to do. And I want to address that just a little bit in closing. But right now in John chapter 17, what we find here is Jesus in this upper room situation with his friends. Judas is gone. He's not up there with the 5,000, and he sure isn't up there with the Pharisees. He's up there with his friends. He's in this upper room in this love relationship. And he's ministering his love to these men that have been with him these years. And they're responding back to him in love. And he's saying, Father, I want you to love them as you have loved me. And he's saying, and I want you to love me and the Father because I can know when you do because you'll obey my commandments. And there's this love that's just going on in this room. And it's a love thing that's happening. And so Jesus begins to pray for them in chapter 17. And then in verse 8 he says, as he's praying to Father, he says, For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received, or lambanoed in the Greek, lambanoed them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. I've come to them, Father. I've come and I've given them the word that you gave me to give them. Now this is what ministry does. Ministry will always bring the word that Father has given us to bring. And he says, and these 11 here, these have received it. And this is the lambano. This is the, they have got a hold of it and are not going to let it go and have made it a part of their life. I'm praying for these. I'm not praying for the 5,000. I'm praying for these that have received my word. I'm praying for these that have taken it and applied it and are going to walk in it for the rest of their lives. These are the ones that I'm praying for. That I came out from thee, and they know that I'm from you. They know that I'm not out of a denomination. They know that I'm not from a synagogue. I'm not from a Pharisee organization. I'm not from a Bible school or a seminary. They know I am from you. And you sent me. They have believed that thou didst send me. Now, who's he praying for? Let's go ahead and settle this. Who? And which ones? Those that receive his words. Those that have received what he wanted to say to them. Those that have lambanoed it and not just taken it and put it under a microscope to see how he said it or if it was a bad word or a good word or let's judge it with this. They didn't judge, they received it. praying for them. And then verse 9, I pray for them. Title of this message is, I do not pray for the world. Verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world. Let's say that together. I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world. Where was his emphasis of his prayer? Okay. And you'll find this running true all the way through the Scriptures. Majority of the prayer that you'll find in the New Testament, the majority of the prayer that you'll find Paul praying, the majority of the prayer that you find the apostles praying is always prayer for people who have already received the Word. And the prayer is not that they'll be saved, but they will have the boldness to say what God tells them to say. And that's my prayer. God, give me boldness to say what you give me to say. And some of you might say, well, my God, Delbert, you'll kill somebody if you get... I'll show you just, I don't know if we'll deny it, but I will in the next week or two. You'll see this. This is, the prayer is for boldness. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Say that back. I pray not for the world. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. You don't have to say that. But thank you for attempting. That was good. Get in here with me a little bit. I like that. We need that. Now, we got to understand something. Okay. Paul does say, pray for all men everywhere. Paul did say, I pray for Israel, that the nation will be saved. Okay? So we're not saying, don't go ever again and pray for the lost person. I'm not telling you that. But the real prayer that you'll learn over this week and next week is you pray for boldness, that you can say what God's told you to say to that person. That's what it'll save. Okay? Now, just I want to give this one verse back up. We'll maybe develop this next week. We'll just see. And then I want to close with one thought. So look at Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 3, Paul and John has gone to the temple, and on the way, they've run across this man, a crippled man, and they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the guy did. He got up and running and leaping and praising God through the temple, causing a big ruckus. All right, and then the Pharisees got wind of it, and they began to come and question Peter and John about the name that they were doing this under, which was the name of Jesus. Now, he was not of their denomination. Jesus wasn't. And they didn't like that. And so they didn't like it under that name. And so they began to say, you can't preach in this name anymore. And John and Peter and John says, ho, ho, ho. We don't fear men. We fear God. And so they go back to their group, and they're in this room. And in verse 29, they've gotten back with them, and they've explained to them, they begin to pray. And in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may what? Speak thy word. What are they praying for? That, Lord, you'll save all the people. Lord, you got to go save them now because I'm afraid I'll stumble and I'll mess this thing up and I can't do this. So you go save them, Lord, and you deliver them from the devils and you heal them. What does he say? What's the prayer? Give us boldness to speak your word. How many know, believe I can impart this to you? I can impart this to you. Yeah. Don't be afraid of people. Yeah, you may stumble a little bit. Yeah, you get some people mad at you. Yeah, they'll threaten you. I ain't going back to that church no more. Thinks I'm going to pay my tithes there. I want you here. I really do. But the word is bold. The word is hard. Hard sayings change hard lives. You don't break a rock with a feather. And you don't pray for the world. So he says, by stretching, by speak thy, by, to speak, give us the boldness that they may speak thy word in verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by thy name in the holy child, in the name of the holy child Jesus. So the prayer was, Lord, we want to speak your word, and that we want to go out and lay hands on people and see you move upon their lives. You know, we're going to need a few miracles to back us up. Right. And I'll develop that more for you next week, okay? But you'll find out, and maybe this week you'll start studying it, but get your concordance out. Look up boldness or bold or how to speak the word or whatever. You'll find out that it's not mamby-pamby. Jesus made people mad. He lost more than he kept. Not in the long run. But his message, as long as he was old Jesus, he lost him. So what we've got to understand is God wants to speak a hard word to a hard area. I've told you this 100 times, and I'll tell you, keep telling it until we pierce it. But from Chattanooga down to Rome, this is a hard area.
Right.
There is no spiritual breakthroughs in this area. All the cities even remain little. No growth. You look at well, 10 years ago it was 5,000 people here. Still got 5,000 people here. No growth. And you'll find if you'll really study prayer and you'll find out about these things, you'll find Daniel praying in Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10, he's talking about the prince of Persia has resisted me. But you'll also find there was a king of Persia. There was a king of Persia on the natural and a prince of Persia in the spiritual. And what was happening in the spiritual was causing what was happening in the natural. You'll also find in Ezekiel 28, where it's talking about that anointed cherub. You'll find the same thing, except the order is reversed, which simply means that one of them is a little more powerful than the other. But there is a spiritual dimension that causes this area to remain small and not grow, neither in the natural nor the spiritual. We get to a certain place and we can't go any further. We get a certain number, we can't break through. We can't affect our area or nothing, simply because there's something that's got to be broken, and you're not going to break it with a feather.
Amen.
Got to have a hard word. Got to have a hard saying. Got to have something that'll smash it. Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Is this okay? Somebody told me today, when I walked in and said, I really hope you preach again today. I said, I enjoyed that so much yesterday. I mean, last week. I said, I enjoyed that so much last week. It was probably the best sermon I ever heard. And I said, maybe I'll let you tell everybody that. Well, it was good. Sold lots of tapes. Now what did he say? If you're at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, say amen. Amen. Verse 1. This is the point that we close with today on prayer. So you got to be able to pray to evangelize. You have boldness. You gotta know that there's things that are warring against you. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Now Paul is saying here how to pray for him. Here's how I want you to pray for me. Here's how I'll be praying for you. Finally, brethren, pray for us. That, here's the first thing that he wants, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. You see, the word of the Lord's got to go forth because it's the word of the Lord that's going to break down the power. It's the word of the Lord that separates the depths of the heart and the soul and the spirit. It's the word of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the word of the Lord that can separate even the joints and the marrow of the bone. It is the word of the Lord that's going to go forth. And we've got to have it having free course. And so what Paul says, first of all, is I want the word of the Lord glorified. I want the word of the Lord to go forth under free course so that it may be glorified. I don't want a man's doctrine glorified. I want the word of the Lord glorified. Because all man's doctrine does is make the word of God of none effect. Okay? We want the word of the Lord glorified here. Do you hear me? We don't care what anybody's got to say. I don't care what any teacher or man of God's got to say. If it's not the word of God, we don't receive it. But if it is the word of God, we glorify it.
Amen.
Not the man, the word. But it's always strange that God always uses a man to bring his word. And he says, go glorify the word, not a doctrine, not a denomination, not a building, but his word. So if it's a doctrine or if it's a man, we won't glorify it. But if it is the word of God, we've got to glorify it. That simply means we receive. If it says it, that settles it. There's no questioning, no examining it, no getting mad at me because I said it. If it's the word of God, then glorify it. And then secondly of all, that the word can have free course. Now, where should it have free course? Where? 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 I'm listening, looking for an answer. I want an answer here. Where should the word of God have free course?
In this house.
In this house? Let's make it more personal.
In my life.
You see, if there's something obstructing the word of God in your life, there's a problem. And so the word of God must have free course. That word there is run. It's translated about, 20-something times maybe, something like that, maybe 17, I think, times in this particular Greek word. And this is the only time that it's translated course. Other times it's translated run or runneth or running. And he's talking about we want the Word of God to run through us. You ever had the runs? A little graphic. That's the way I want the Word of God in my life. Just run through me, Lord. Like my blood courses through me. Have free access. I don't want any blockages. If you have a blockage in your body, what happens? Well, I figured if Monty could talk about what he talked about today. But if you got a blockage in your bloodstream, if you got a blockage going to a vein in your heart, what, you got problems. And if you got a blockage in this house, buddy, we got problems. See, the Word of God must have free course in this house. It must have free course in you. It must have free course in me. If there's something that's blocking the Word of God, we've got serious problems.
Right.
That's right. Need some surgery. So the Word of God has got to have free course, first of all in me, then in this house. If it's not coming clear through me, then it's not going to get to you. Okay? And if it doesn't get to you, then it's not going to get to them. And we've got to have a free course. So what Paul's praying is, he said, I want you to pray for us, number one, that the Word of God will be glorified. Not man's doctrines, not man's teachings. Or not. If the Word of God says it, then let's glorify. And then secondly of all, that it'll have free course. It'll have a liberty to run and a liberty to flow. And then thirdly of all, verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. A little imprecatory prayer. God, there are evil and wicked men, unreasonable people, who are hindering the course of the word. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were coming back from Chattanooga. And as we turned into the parking lot, we come down Duke Street, turned in, there was a person sitting over there. And if I could tell you what I really believe the person was doing was putting a curse on our place. Now, here's something that's going on. I mean, I'm just telling you this so that we can know that there is something trying to hinder the course of this word. And I'm not saying this anyway to develop. And don't even ask anybody. Don't ask anybody. If I hear of anybody asking anybody who did it, some people know who I'm, but I don't want to hear you. I don't want that asked. Don't even ask who it was. And if anybody knows and tells them, and I hear about it, I'm going to talk to you. Not that I can do anything. You might be bigger than me. But I do want you to know, I don't want you repeating this. I don't want this hindering us. We want to bless them. And since that time, 3 broke foots. Feet.
Bones.
Broke hand. Lord, deliver us from wicked and unreasonable people who hinder the course of the Word of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's how you pray. And you bless them. Father, also, as I speak, that I want a blessing upon the people that try to hinder us. Father, I want you to bless them with an open vision. I want you to open the eyes of their understanding. They can be enlightened, Lord, that they'll not be putting curses upon us or any work of God. But Father God, that they will pray for us, that we too can do the call, the hope of our calling, that thing that you've put us here to do. Father, there are people that they can reach that we can't reach, and people we can reach that they can't reach. So Father, let us labor together In the kingdom of God, in the harvest fields, Lord. You called, didn't one to labor in the harvest field, Father. You called many. All day long, you called them. And Lord, you sent them forth into the harvest field to labor in your fields. And so, Father God, we bless them. We bless them, Lord. We do not curse anyone. Just deliver us. Deliver us from wicked and unreasonable people who hinder the course of the glorified Word of God. Amen. Well, that's all I got to say about that today. Let's stand. Next week, I'll talk a little bit more maybe about the boldness of God. Judy said that she doesn't have time to share what she wants to. You do need to share. Okay. All right. Well, right there. She does. Sit back down then. Okay. And Amen.
I have a lot to say about the worthiness, but it's something that the Lord, and I really feel like this was the Lord. I wrote Bonnie a note, told her what happened to me, and we were laughing. And she told me not to share this. Well, I just feel like it's real important that I do share this. It's important that you hear what I'm fixing to say today. And I'm trying to cut down maybe what I wanted to say. It had a lot about our worthiness. But Paul and Barnabas, maybe I can come from here. If I go long, can y'all just wait on me? I really feel it's that important. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas go into the synagogue, and the scribes say, or Pharisees, whoever they were, say, ask them like we would if a preacher came in here, do you have a word of exhortation? And that's what they ask, you know, Paul and Barnabas, do you have a word of exhortation for the people? So they say, yeah, and they get up and they start talking about how basically the gospel, you know, the God, you know, Jesus came, he died, he rose again, God raised him up. Well, that was a good little message, but then it says in the next Sabbath day, came almost the whole city. And y'all, I'm having trouble reading here. I can't get far enough away from me. To gather to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And I called Delbert and shared this with him this morning because I felt like I was reading the story of our life since we've come to this city, that men have constantly blasphemed and criticized or turned Delbert's words around. And when I get to what I'm saying, y'all going to be blessed. Okay, and then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. I told somebody this week, people can say a lot of things about Delbert, but they can't say he's a coward. He is not a coward. He has waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first come and have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, you Jews who are of the lineage of Jesus, I added that, okay, just for emphasis, because I want you to hear this. Seeing you put it from you and judged yourselves unworthy. What the religious person will do is judge himself unworthy. I really believe, I hate to even say this because after the praise and worship this morning, the way the word's been received, I really feel like y'all heard what was said last week. A lot of people I thought were going out of here feeling unworthy when what the Lord was trying to tell you last week was that you are worthy. And during praise and worship, God said a lot to me, but but he showed me Monty. Monty, until you decide within your heart that you are worthy of that position that you are seeking the Lord for. You are worthy of that salary. You are worthy of those things of God. God wants you to know, Monty, you are worthy for him to do those things. It's that religious person who is going to say, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. Let me tell you what happened to John the Baptist. Here I go, Sheila. I pray that he comes.
Well,
okay, John the Baptist says, the first thing he says is, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yeah. And then the very next thing that comes out of his mouth is, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. Okay, what happens to him next? First, he is the proclaimer of the gospel, leading the way and pointing the way to Jesus Christ. The next thing he says, I'm not worthy, and the next thing he's in prison. He's in prison. And the next thing is his heart's full of doubt. Go and ask him, is he the one or do we look for another? What? You know, I'll tell you what thinking you're unworthy is going to do. It's going to make you look for another. Because when you get in prison, and we're all going to go through things, when you go through those times, the first thing, if you don't think you're worthy, is you're going to doubt that Jesus has come. You're going to doubt that he has come in the flesh, and you're going to start looking for another. But anyway, let me make sure. All right, let me say this one last thing, then I'm going to tell you what God said to me. Well, okay, let me tell you this, though. I do need my glasses. I'm worthy for God to heal me of this 40-year-old thing. Takes your sight away. Okay, and so he sends his disciples and he says, ask him if he's the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus says, well, he doesn't say, with a doubtful little person. I can't see y'all. He says, Jesus answered and said to him, go and show John again. Go and show him again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And then he says something that's real important, and this is going to tie in what he said to me. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. That's going to be real important when you hear what God said to me. And now I know why he said it. It was not real fun. But then I do receive the thing. But before I do that, I want to tell you something about the word you got. And tell you, this is just to exhort you from now on for any word that comes from here. David said in Psalms 119, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. When something is preached, no matter if it's here or on TBN or wherever you may go. When something is preached, that word is the lamp unto your feet and light unto your path. Don't be condemned by that word. That's not what He wants you to do. You take the light of that word, you shine it on where you're going. If you're walking in an unworthy manner toward God, then you best let that lamp and let that light guide you back to the path. That's what the Lord means by don't be offended by my word, but let that light get you back right on track. And I know there's many people here that at one time were doing that are kind of veering off from letting that lamp be that light into their path, that lamp into their path and that light into their feet. But whatever. Was that right? Lamp into their feet and light into their path. But anyway, and you know, that word quicken, where He says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord. What He's saying is, I have a lot of things going on in me. He probably has a lot of enemies, sickness. It's body, soul, and spirit He's talking about. And He says, quicken me according to Thy word. That word means, quicken means recover me, repair me, restore me, revive me, make me alive, and make me whole. And the only thing that can do that is the word of God, if you receive it. Now, it can turn you into the biggest blasphemer in the city. You can blaspheme the word of God, or it can become life and recovery and repair and restoration, and it can make you alive again. But it's all according to you. Okay. Do I need to say anything? Okay, this is what the Lord told me. Okay, and so I want you to remember what Jesus said about don't be offended. To be offended this morning. And we were in praise and worship, and it was so good. It was so wonderful. And the Lord said, Judy! My name is Judy. He said, Judy, you have been operating in witchcraft. Basically, I told Bonnie, I wrote, basically, God called me a witch this morning in praise and worship. Now, who knows that I could have been offended by that. I could have not heard that. And I could have missed out on a lot of future blessings that are going to come to my home, to my life, and to this body. And what He told me, and I have no idea what Delbert preaches about because He just will not tell me. He stopped telling me 8 years ago because I would try to make that thing palatable and make that thing sweet. And, oh, don't say it that way, say it this way. So we decided 8 years ago at least, I can't hear the sermon before you hear it because I will totally change it. And what I have done in the past in my prayer for Delbert is prayed, Lord, you know, if you'll just make it where people can understand it. We just want their hearts to receive the Word of God, and we want them to grow. And so basically what He told me this morning, that I've been operating in witchcraft. And what's so funny is, if you know me, I'm so down on charismatic witchcraft. And yet God told me this morning, you're in charismatic witchcraft. You have been praying about how the Word of God should go forth in this place. And He said, from now on, I'm changing your prayer. And you pray that the Word of God that comes through Delbert's mouth will be powerful. That it will be that two-edged sword, that it will cut asunder the soul and the spirit. It will cut asunder the flesh and the spirit. So, I'm going to pray differently now. But I really, you know, I want you to know, I mean, you could have been offended last week, but God didn't call you a witch. You know? And, I mean, He didn't say witch, but, I mean, I'm not stupid. You know, I got the message. I have been operating. I have been kind of maybe putting a spell on Him. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I know my heart, I just want y'all to hear, I want to be liked. I want people like Him. But, I repent, and I repent to Him, and I repent to everybody here. But I want you to know, maybe He used that so that I could stand up here and say, don't be offended by the Word of God. Let it be that lamp unto your feet and that light unto your path. Amen.
Amen. Crystal, bring Mark up here. I want to pray for him before he gets gone. We need to pray for Mark every service. We need to pray for Mark every service. Bring him up here. Bring Mark up. We need to pray for him.
elders will be coming up. And now let's pray at the prayer of dismissal. You can leave as we're praying for him. But if you, I'd like for you just to stand there and join and just reach forth and just pray with us for him.